Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 2. The title of the message this morning is something that's very sobering, something that we ought to think about often. Are you afraid to die? I told you this morning my two messages are both questions. How you answer the first question will dictate how you answer the second question. We looked in the class this morning, are you the friend of God, a friend of God? And now we're going to look at, are you afraid to die? Today we're, after the service, celebrate some zero birthdays. I thought this morning it's a good time to ask this question. Are you afraid to die? We're all aging, getting older, ever getting closer to that moment. Now I have been there in person to see two people give up the ghost and die. I was there when they drew their last breath on this earth. And it's not like how you might think that would be. Certainly not how the movies portray it. There's no glow around the person. There's no glow in the room. There's no harps playing. It's just silence. This life is over. Now, that's very mysterious to us. We don't know what it's like to die. We've never talked to anyone who's done it. And there tends to be a certain amount of fear about facing something, doing something that we've never done before, because we don't know what it's like. So we don't know what to expect. So humanly speaking, it's natural in that sense to fear death, because we don't know what it's like. And humanly speaking, it's good for us to have a fear of death. It's just natural to these bodies to fear death and to rebel against it. Because God made these bodies for living, not for dying. He didn't create Adam to die. No, He created him to live. And the desire to live. There's a desire to live in people. And that's what makes them not give up. In times of horrible trial, and I read about these stories of men who were prisoners of war and horrible, horrible places. And I think, I just want to die. I wouldn't want to live. But they wanted to live. They just wanted to press on for something better that's going to get better. The desire to live makes us take better care of ourselves. You know, exercising and eating right is not going to make us live one day longer on this earth. But it'll make the days we have more pleasant. It'll make you feel better. It'll make you able to be more useful to go out and do the things that you have to do, you know, the time the Lord's given us. And a fear of death really gives us a respect for human life, doesn't it? You know, cultures that don't respect human life make life miserable for everybody else. You know, the Islamic people seem to have absolutely no respect for human life. And it's a scourge on this world. So in that sense, a fear of death is good. But for the believer, there is no reason at all for us to fear death. Actually, it's wrong. It's wrong for a believer to fear death. When a believer feels a fear of death, it shows a lack of trust in the Lord. It's like, well, I can trust the Lord in good times, but not in the bad. You know, I can trust the Lord with my body, but not my soul. And when a believer fears death, it robs us of the joy and the peace that we have in Christ. You know, we ought to have joy in Christ. There's no fear in love. There's joy and peace in Christ. But the unbeliever should be afraid of death because of the eternal consequences of it. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And facing the wrath of God in our sin, without a covering, without a mediator, should frighten us. You're right to be afraid of death if you don't believe Christ. So how then can I not be afraid to die? And I want to give us some concrete reasons this morning to not fear death. Now, it's not just whistling through the graveyard and pretending I'm not going to die. I mean, how many people do you know just pretend like they're going to live forever? That would just be living a lie. That's not a reason not to fear death. As I was studying this week, I read this inscription that someone had recorded that they found on a tombstone. said, this might be, I just want just a little stone. I don't have to pay much money, you know, for it. But this would be, I'd like for somebody to think this. And they passed by my grave. Please view my grave as you pass by. For as you are, so once was I. As I am now, soon you must be. So make your plans to follow me. Now we're going to die. Unless the Lord returns first, every one of us is going to die. We're going to have a funeral. We're going to put the body in a box and bury it. We're going to die. So how then can I not be afraid of it? Number one, let me give you about four reasons. The way not to fear death is by doing what I compel you to do in every message. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Christ came not just to deliver his people from death, not only to deliver his people from death, but to deliver them from the fear of death. There's no reason to fear something you'll never do. Is that right? Look here at verse 14, how Christ delivered his people from death and the fear of it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's how Christ fulfilled the prophecy, the very first prophecy of the Messiah. He's going to crush the serpent's head. He put him out of business. He crushed him. He took away his power by dying upon Calvary's tree as a sacrifice for sin. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Bondage to the fear of death. Now Christ came to deliver his people from dying, but also to deliver them from the fear of death. And he did that by becoming the substitute for his people and dying in their place. Now the children are God's elect. They're all flesh and blood, sons of Adam. They're human beings. Well, God can't be the substitute for human beings, can he? God's not flesh and blood. God's spirit. So Christ took on him flesh and blood to become the representative, the substitute of his people. God became a man. Now, what a great mystery. God became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, God didn't change into a man. God took on him flesh. God stayed God and became a man. He's both God and man, the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God in a human body with a human nature, yet without sin. And that perfect God-man can satisfy both God and man. He was made sin for his people, and he suffered the death that they deserved by being their substitute. He is everything that we need. And he is God. So he satisfied God's holiness by obeying the law perfectly. He was without sin because he is God. So his righteousness, his obedience, satisfied his Father. And his death, the death of the perfect, sinless man, satisfied God's justice. And put away the sin of his people. And since justice is satisfied, God's not going to demand a second payment. The payment's already been made. He's not going to demand a second one. We've already died in the person of our substitute. God's not going to demand a second death. The believer doesn't have to fear death, because everyone who believes on Christ will never die. Now, these bodies will, but we will never die. Isn't that what our Lord told Martha, standing right outside the tomb of her brother Lazarus? Martha, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe this? He said. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall be made alive. They'll never die. Sin in these bodies reigns unto death in Adam. Even so grace reigns in through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. If you look back at 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'll show you this is God's eternal purpose for his people, that they never die. Verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That was all done in eternity, but that's now made manifest. It showed us by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, what freedom there is in Christ for the believer. Freedom. See, before we know Christ, we're in this bondage, aren't we? This bondage to the fear of death. We can't quit fearing it. We're such bondage. We're in bondage, always trying to keep the law, always trying to live well enough so God won't punish us after we die. We even get the feeling, oh, I got to live right, I got to do right, so you know God won't punish me and let me live longer. It's a fear, bondage to the fear of death. You cannot get away from it. But the believer in Christ is free. Free from that awful bondage and a horrible fear. You think of living in fear, just living in constant fear, how miserable that is. You think of a slave living constantly in bondage, never having the option to say, I'm going to rest. The believer is free from all of that. There's nothing to fear. There's no bondage. There's nothing left for us to do. Look to Christ. That's the point. Look to Christ for everything. Look to him as your righteousness. Look to him as your justification. Look to him as your sanctification. Look to him as your redemption. Look to him as your eternal life. Look to him to deliverance from death. And look to him for the deliverance from the fear of death. That's why he came, to deliver his people from the fear of death. Look to him. All right, number two, the believer doesn't fear death. Because Christ changed the nature of death for his people. When Christ died for his people, there are several different ways he changed the nature of death. First, Christ changed death into something that cannot hurt the believer. Christ removed the sting of death for his people. The sting of death is sin. Well, so the sacrifice of Christ removed the sin of his people, didn't it? Then there's no sting left to hurt you. Death can't hurt the believer in any way because Christ took the sting out of it. Second, Christ changed the nature of death. He made death a blessing, not a curse for the believer. Christ removed the curse of the law by being made a curse for us and taking that curse away. Look at Revelation chapter 20. The death of these bodies is not going to bring an eternal curse to God's people. Instead, it's going to bring eternal blessing. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And what's that mean, the first resurrection? It's the new birth. Whoever's been born again by God's grace, by his power, that person is blessed and holy. On such, the second death hath no power. You can never die spiritually. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See, the death of Christ changed death from good to bad for the believer. That's not punishment. It's a promotion for the believer. It's to leave this world to go to a far better world and a far better body. It's a promotion. Death is not an execution. It's deliverance from this clay prison to be finally set free from this body of sin. It's a promotion. And death is not the end. No, death is the beginning of real life, eternal life with Christ. And for the believer, death is not a failure. Death is a graduation. And every child of God graduates with honor. You've ever been to a graduation? They list all the graduates, right? Here's the ones with high honor, different honors. Every child of God graduates with honor. The highest honor. The honor of Christ. Graduation day. Yesterday, Isaac Floyd graduated from high school. After he graduated, got his diploma, he walked around the stage. There his dad sat down there on the front row right there at graduation. His dad stood up, grabbed him, gave him a big hug. Weren't sorry at all, were you? Graduation day. Oh, you're so happy. And afterward, nobody sat around sad and crying, said, oh, Isaac, he failed. He can't go back under the dominion of Rock Hill High School anymore. He failed. No, we're happy. He graduated. Isaac's moving on to bigger and better things. He's accomplished something. Brethren, that's what death is for the believer. It's graduation day. Moving on to bigger and better things. We haven't failed. No, we got the victory. We finally received the victory that Christ won for us. That's not true for the unbeliever. Please understand me. I'm not saying nobody has to fear death. For the unbeliever, anything on this earth is better than death. Anything is. I'm trying to decide whether to tell this personal story. I'm going to tell it. When we were in college, Janet was my girlfriend. I told her one day, if something ever happens to me and they find me on life support, don't you ever let them turn it off. Sometime later, I told her different. You turn it off. Something changed, didn't it? Nothing on this earth is nearly as good. It cannot be compared to leaving this life and be with Christ and be made just like Him. For the believer, death is not defeat. Death is victory. Christ has swallowed up death in victory. Oh, grave, where's your victory? Nowhere to be found. The death of Christ changed death from a hated thing to a precious thing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I don't care how we see it. However God sees it, that's the way it is. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. It'll be precious to His saints too once they go through it. Once they go through it, nothing will be more precious to them. Then thirdly, get a hold of this now. Christ has made death the answer to the believer's prayer. How many times have we prayed, oh, I long to see the face of the Lord Jesus. The moment the believer dies, that prayer is answered. To close our eyes in this life is to open them in glory, beholding the face of Christ the Savior. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm right willing to do it. There's no such thing as soul sleep. There's no such place as purgatory. The Lord told that dying thief who believed on Him, Lord, would you remember me? He looked to Christ, didn't he? Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And our Lord told him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the answer to our prayer. How many times have we prayed, I long to be without sin? Well, the very moment the believer dies, that prayer is answered. We'll never deal with sin in us or anybody around us ever again. That prayer is answered. And how many times have we prayed for ourselves and for others, Lord, heal them from this sickness. Heal them from this pain. Deliver them from this sorrow. Do you know the very moment the believer dies, God's answered that prayer? Huh? Yes, hasn't He? Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Death is the answer to the believer's prayer. Brother Henry said, we ought to quit praying like that if we don't mean it. Pretty good advice, isn't it? Now, this is not nearly the most important thing, but this is true. How many times have we said, oh, I'd like to see my loved one who departed in the faith. I'd like to see him one more time. When the believer dies, that prayer is answered. David said of his baby that died, I shall go to him. He's not going to return to me. I'm going to go to him. I'm going to see him again. Now, I'm confident of this, that we will know one another in heaven. And that's not just a feel-good emotion that I have. I got scripture to back it up. The disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration knew who Moses and Elijah were. They knew them. They'd never seen a picture of them. How could they? They knew them. I don't know. They just did. We're going to know each other in glory. Now, our relationships will be different. I'm going to know Janet. But our relationship will be different. You'll be married to Christ, not to me. I'm going to know her. I'm going to love her. I'm going to love everybody else the same. Our relationships are going to be different. But we're going to know one another. We'll remember our life on this earth. And we're not going to be sad about it. We're going to sing in joy and victory unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. We're going to sing, Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain, and You've redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Now, the only way we can remember the sin that the Savior redeemed us from is to remember this life. And that'll include the people that are in it. You know, if we think we enjoy worshiping the Lord with our family now, just wait till then. Now, you know, that's not, can I stress this? That's not the most important thing. People say, I want to go to heaven to see so-and-so. No. I want to go to glory to see Christ and be made like Him. But when we get there, we're going to know one another. We'll worship Him together. Fourthly, Christ has changed death. He's made it a restful sleep for a believer. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. The death of these bodies is just going to be sleep. It's all it's going to be. It's not a final resting place. It's just a place to take a nap till the Lord returns. On most days, unless I'm sick, I cannot. I don't care how hard I try. I cannot take a nap. Except for Sundays. This afternoon, I'm going to kick back in my recliner. I won't take a nap. And Janet's not going to cry about it. It's just a minute. That's what death is for the believer. See, Christ our Savior died. But brethren, He rose again. And the resurrection of Christ guaranteed the resurrection of all of His people. If you believe Christ, you do not need to fear the grave. You're not going to be there for long. God's elect are going to be raised in perfect bodies, in glorified flesh, just like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to call them out of those graves to meet Him in the air and forever be with Him. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ has changed death for the believer. Even to the point it's going to make the grave a peaceful place to wait for our Savior's return. Right, thirdly, how can I be afraid, not afraid to die? Live your life walking with God. You all know the story of Enoch. We don't know a lot about Enoch, do we? But we know this. Enoch walked with God. And he kept walking with God until he walked right into glory. Without dying. They never found Enoch's body. He was not. He just walked right into glory. Now, how did Enoch walk with God? Was Enoch any different than us? No. His life was much the same as ours is. He had responsibilities in this life. He had, you know, a job. Maybe it was farming or whatever, hunting, whatever it was. He had a job. He had a family to provide for. He had children to raise, children to teach. But he lived his life looking to Christ. He lived a life of prayer. He took care, while he was taking care of all of his responsibilities, he did it looking to Christ, following Christ, walking with Christ. Enoch walked with God by living upon faith in Christ. It's the same way that everybody mentioned in Hebrews 11 lived. They all lived in faith in Christ. Now, these all died in faith. Enoch did. He just walked straight into the presence of God. But when all those other ones, Moses, and all the other ones that are mentioned there in Hebrews, Abraham, Sarah, they died in faith and walked right into glory. Enoch just did it without dying. They all did it by going through death. But you see, this is the point I'm trying to make. Death didn't change their occupation. It just changed their location. They walked with God. That phrase, walking with, it means what you're taken up with. It means what's most important to you. I wish I could convince us to spend more time walking with the living God than walking with this dead world. I wish I could. I'm not being an old grouch when I say that. I'm really not. Janet says I am kind of training to be a grouchy old man. And I think it's kind of cute. I don't know. But I really and truly, young people, listen to me. This world, I know, has a strong attraction to you. It's sweet to you, I know. But let's not be taken up with the perishing things of this world. That's going to be gone like that. And spend more time walking with the living God. If I'm walking with God, what do I got to be afraid of? If I'm walking with God, I come around the corner, what's there to frighten me? I'm with the living God. I don't have anything to fear as long as He's there. I won't be afraid to die if I'm walking with the living God. And then fourthly, how can I not be afraid to die? By dying daily to self and dying daily to this world. Now, what I mean by that, dying daily to self? You know, we ought to know that death is coming. Let's not pretend like it's not. Let's not be shocked, you know, when it comes. We know it's coming. We just don't know when. Isaac said, "Behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. I know it's coming soon. I don't know when it's going to arrive, but it's coming soon. So how can I die daily to self? How can I die daily to this world? Well, number one, by making preparations to die. By knowing it's coming and making preparations for it. This year, our family is not going to go on vacation to the first week of November. Buddy, I got it all planned out already. I mean, I got all the details taken care of already. So when that day gets here, we can head off to the beach and everything's already taken care of. And the family can just have a good time together. There's nothing going to need to be taken care of once we get there. How do I make preparations for death? I know it's coming. So how do I make preparations for that day? It's by seeking Christ every day. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays, but seeking Him every day. Live your life doing what you got to do, taking care of your responsibilities, but live it seeking salvation in Christ. Live your life seeking forgiveness of sin in Christ, seeking mercy in Him, seeking your righteousness in Him. Live your life. The things that you've got to do, live it and do them, seeking God's way and God's word. If I've made those preparations, I'm going to be happy when the day of death comes. Just like I'll be happy when that first day of vacation gets here. I'll be happy. Number two, live your life dying daily to self and dying daily to this world by living like you're going to die. And leave this temporary place. Don't cling so tightly to the things of this life because you think that's the best you'll ever have. Don't live your life thinking, I'm not going to have a good life if I don't have all these things of this world. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things in this world. God, this world is yours. If you believe God, this creation is yours. Have them and enjoy them. By all means, have those things and enjoy those things. But don't cling so desperately to them that you think I cannot live without them. Hold loosely to the things of this life. God's going to take them away soon. I told you this in the class this morning. I try never to say this. I try never to say I can't live without Janet. God one day probably going to show me I can. Hold loosely to the things of this life. So he don't make him break your fingers, let go of him. Mentally, just give everything you are, everything you have into his hand. That way, when he takes it away, it won't hurt you none. And then lastly, How do I live dying daily to self and daily to this world? Live like you're going to die, not being such a stubborn mule. I had a different word originally, but mule serve the purpose. Don't be a stubborn mule. And here's what I mean by that. When people know they're on their deathbed, usually, now not always, but usually when somebody knows they're on their deathbed, they're nicer, they're more forgiving, they're more loving, and they don't waste time being mad about something that just don't matter. Isn't that right? You see people on their deathbed, they don't got time. I don't got no time for this. If it doesn't matter, I don't have time for it. If you knew you were going to die today, think about it for a moment. If you knew you were going to die today, you mean it. You should tell your wife you love her. Tell her today. If you knew you were going to die today, would you forgive somebody, patch things up? It ought not be this way. Would you forgive them and patch it up? Then do it today. And if you knew you were going to die today, this is living your life, dying daily to self, dying daily to this world. If you knew you were going to die today, would you seek the Lord? Would you? Would you say, oh, if I just could hear one more gospel message, would you? Would you? I bet we would. Then do it today. That's living like we know we're going to die. And if we live that way, we don't have to be afraid of it, do we? We don't have to be afraid of it. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for your word that answers our every need by showing us the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us the faith, I pray. Give us the wisdom to know, to see, to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is all we need. Give us faith to see him, to look to him, to rest in him with a childlike dependence that knows he'll take care of everything, that he really is all I need. If he's all I have, he's all I need. I've got everything. Father, bless your word, I pray. Bless your word to your glory, to cause your people to rest more fully in you. Bless your word to the hearts of your people. Father, deliver us from this awful fear. Fear of death, the fear of the law, fear of punishment. In Christ, there's nothing to fear. There's no fear. Father, bless your word to the hearts of your people. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship we're about to have. We ask that you bless the food and bless our time of fellowship. And we thank you, Father, for those that we honor today and their these special birthdays. We thank you for each one of them. Father, how I pray you continue to bless. Bless each one of them. Bless, be with them in a special way. Cause your mercy to rain upon them. Cause your grace to shine triumphant in their lives. We thank you for giving them to us and ask your richest blessing be upon them. Father, forgive us, we pray, for our many sins. Forgive us when we do fear, doubt, and murmur. And see us and hear us only in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray. Give thanks. Amen. I know we're going to have a time of fellowship and celebrate these birthdays. And I don't think anyone would argue with me that Lila is our guest of honor. 10-year-old, this is our favorite one when somebody's 10. So as the men set up the tables, the ladies get the food ready, everybody watch Lila. And don't go through line till Lila goes. You can go first. And everybody else will follow, and the other three, you follow right along on our heels, okay? And the rest of us will go behind you. So we thank God for you, for each one of you.